Hey, this is Marcus Lemonis. I run a multi-billion dollar company and host one of the most successful business shows on TV, where I use my own money to help small businesses succeed. On my podcast, we're going to talk to entrepreneurs who have great, inspiring, and sometimes unusual stories. We're also going to talk to celebrities who have launched successful ventures of their own. From them, we're going to get inspiration and inside stories of their business success. Look, you never know who's going to show up or what you're going to hear. This is 100%. The biggest crown jewel, in my opinion, in this nation, other than its people, are its national parks. A Greek philosopher once said, "Leave the road, take the trails." If you love the outdoors and RVing and all those wonderful things as much as I do, you know there are limited places to actually go. And through this whole change in the world, more people want to go outside. They want to go hiking and biking and kayaking and do all these amazing things. For years, Americans have been doing just that. Since the pandemic, more and more people are seeking out wide open spaces with fresh air and beautiful scenery. Even before COVID, attendance at many national parks was up, but funding and resources was way down. An unprecedented $12 billion is needed to fix and maintain more than 400 national parks. Paved roads, housing, campgrounds, trails, water systems, these are just some of what needs to be repaired. In my opinion, it's a true national treasure crisis. I'm Marcus Lemonis, and this is 100%. The entrepreneur you're about to meet created an entire outdoor lifestyle brand with one single purpose: to save our national parks. That's pretty awesome. They found a way to fund some of their projects through apparel sales, living by one mantra: leave it better than you found it. That entrepreneur is Savag Kazansi. Welcome, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Marcus. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on today. I will tell you that I was most excited this week of all the ones that I did about this particular one, because I do believe that the spotlight that you're putting on the national parks is paramount to the success of outdoors in America.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about your idea, what you do, how you came up with it.
Yeah, so Keith Eshelman and I started the business about 6 years ago. At that time, we were working at Tom's Shoes, which was, you know, as you know, just a really quick growing shoe company. We were some of the early employees there, about 40th and 50th employees. When we left, there was well over 600 people, and we were really grateful and lucky. And that's where, you know, the idea of Parks Project came from. We knew the outdoor world was getting bigger and bigger than ever, whether it was on social media or just visitation, it just was growing. But there was kind of this disconnect between the next generation and actual stewardship in the parks. I think there's this, you know, this notion that the government or someone else is just going to take care of these places. And there are lands. There are public lands. We own them as citizens.
Okay. The name of the business is called Parks Project. And it is a 501(c)(3). Is that what? Is it a nonprofit?
No, we're a for-profit.
You are a for-profit. Now I'm even into this more. Okay, for profit. All right, so take us back to the beginning and how it all started.
We wanted to start the business. We had the idea of making really cool national park apparel. We wanted to make things that we would wear that engaged people in the outdoors, in conserving the parks, volunteering in the parks. The business idea was really inspired by the Tom's business model of using business to do good.
Let's walk through that. I'm not a fan of businesses that like to use giving things away as a marketing tool. If you want to give away money, run a damn good business, make a lot of money, and then give it whatever money you want to give away. And this idea that you're going to lure people in with this, I'm giving a percentage of my profits away, I've struggled with that. Now, give me the other side of that argument and why I'm thinking wrong.
I can totally see that perspective. I think the other thing is people don't know how to interact with the outdoors. I think the average person really loves national parks. They really love the outdoors, but they don't understand what it means to leave it better than you found it, leave no trace, you know, follow kind of the rules and guidelines of protecting parks and leaving them better than we found them. And so we started designing some ideas, sending them over to the Park Foundation. And the feedback we got was, you know, what you're doing is amazing. Love the direction you're going, but you need to be a legal partner or a licensing partner of ours in order to make these products.
Just so I get this straight, In order to make National Parks apparel, hoping to bring more awareness to the parks and even donate money back to the parks, you had to be a licensing partner?
Yeah. You know, and at that time, obviously, their partners were people like Nature Valley and Subaru, and we're just two guys in Venice with an idea and a little print shop. And we're like, okay, we want to print the shirts.
Why'd you pick parks, by the way? Why parks?
Mainly because that's where we went. We grew up camping, grew up in the national parks, you know, and just grew up in the outdoors. To us, national parks are the best American idea.
Did you grow up camping, and where are you from?
I'm an Armenian. I was born in Turkey. My family was not into camping. I got into camping when I got in high school with some buddies.
Did you start by tent camping? What kind of camping did you do?
Yeah, started in kind of backpacking in the Sierras. From then, got into some car camping. And then over the years, I have a kid and a wife now and a family, obviously. So we have a truck camper now. So we've kind of elevated to there. And one of the things we also saw was the product that was being sold in parks was, you know, we kind of joked and called it landfill gear. It's very tchotchke, maybe a little bit of an older audience. We just felt like there was a need to make national parks cool, you know, for the younger consumer and make things that can actually sell out of the park. So what we did is actually found some retailers that thought they could sell the product. They saw the designs and they're like, we love this. Bring the parks out of the parks. So that's where our business actually started. Started with selling to retailers like Urban Outfitters and REI and taking things that are traditionally sold in a park, but selling them out of the park and telling the story about the conservancy happening in the park.
Let's go back to your roots and walk us through very quickly first product you had and how it's grown from there and where you want it to go.
First product was t-shirts, easiest one to make. It's the one I had background in. My background's in product and logistics and sourcing. Keith's background is in creative and product design and marketing. So we made a great yin and yang for sure. We started with a trade show, you know, loaded up a Prius with all of our supplies and drove to a trade show and sat there and handed out cards and tried our hardest to get a PO, got back to the hotel, and we were all looking at each other like, where are the orders? And we realized none of us had orders. Took about 2-3 trade shows of that to actually start seeing business come in. It started with a hustle, you know, us showing up, literally setting up a booth and just banging on doors, asking and telling our story and going about it in a genuine way. Shortly after that, we got into headwear and then home goods came on very quickly. So we've got candles, pillowcases, blankets, anything to celebrate that outdoor national park sphere.
What would be the biggest flop? Because everybody always loves to hear about the successes, but as business people, we want to know what didn't go well so we can learn.
One was we decided to do baseball shirts in pop colors. So pop color sleeve baseball shirts, bright orange, bright red. At the time, we just were like, yeah, we got it. You know, pop color, it's this whole vintage softball theme. It's got it. And we did probably 5 different colors, like a purple and orange. I mean, it's just not a good idea.
The most successful product you've launched?
National Geographic. We did a whole collection with National Geographic. We got access to the archives of their old photography, their old design work, and we're able to kind of take that and get inspired and launch a collection.
What did you guys do with all the money you've made selling the shirts?
We took all the money we got, cut those checks back to the parks that they represented, and essentially got letters from them saying, hey, you can't do this. It's awesome. Thank you. You got it. You sent us a check. We really appreciate it, but you can't technically do this.
I love that. They cashed the check while they scolded you. But I bet you they were loving you the whole time.
We're like, okay, well, we're going to do it. We just kind of kept doing it and did it in a sincere way where we just kept being genuine and, you know, opening up the books and going, here it is. We sold the shirts. Here's the profit. We're cutting you a check. We want to support you. We want to support your mission. And we want to get people connected to the parks. The phone call would always start with, thank you for the check. We cashed it. Great. Thank you. And now let's discuss how we can't do this anymore. And so, you know, that conversation was tough for us because they're essentially telling us, hey, you got to go through this red tape. We don't have this money. You know, we're just trying to help you.
Did they ever come around and actually get what you were trying to do? That you were actually trying to help the national parks?
Eventually, they finally came around and were like, hey, we get it. You know, you guys are sincere. You're passionate about this and you're motivated to make a difference. Let's have a bigger conversation. And that's where, you know, we came in and started becoming a supplier for the Find Your Park campaign and the Centennial and, you know, started developing more of a partnership with them. So our goal is, yes, we provide a financial kickback. Obviously, we have $1 million that we've hit as a business. Percentage of our sales go back, which is roughly half of our profit.
Is it all t-shirts today? What are all the products?
I'd say about half of our product is apparel. The other half is broken up into accessories and home goods. So candles, camp chairs, I mean, lifestyle, things that revolve around camping. We're not selling stuff for people who are necessarily going to the top of a peak, kind of more the people who are hanging out in the base in the valley and enjoying the park, the average visitor in a park.
I'm all about empowering people to have the skills and knowledge they need to do things for themselves. So an online learning resource I've been loving is Wondrium. If you know the great Courses Plus, well, you already know Wondrium. It's the same great service, but now with thousands of hours of mind-blowing video and audio content, documentaries, tutorials, and more. The possibilities are endless to dive deeper into your favorite topics or discover something completely new. One I recommend checking out is Understanding Economics, Game Theory. It really shows you how game theory applies to your everyday life using real-world examples. It's super interesting content that can really change the way you think. Look, I know you're going to love Wondrium as much as I do. Use my special URL so they know that I sent you. Go now to wondrium.com/Marcus. And for a limited time, sign up and you'll get a free month trial of unlimited access. That's wondrium.com/Marcus. Again, wondrium.com/Marcus. Sign up today. Everything moves a little faster in today's world, so it's important to jump on opportunities and not get left behind. Our crowd investors were in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020, and you can get in on what's next if you join them. Our crowd's accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our crowd is an online platform that's removing all the usual barriers from venture capital investing. Their experts review thousands of companies and startups, and when they make a deal, you as an Our Crowd investor are offered that same opportunity. Our crowd investors have benefited both from IPOs and acquisitions. Now you can invest in Boatsetter, the largest and only insurance-backed boat rental marketplace that connects owners, renters, and licensed captains. Boatsetter has grown revenue over 100% in just over a year. With 12 million private boat owners in the U.S., more growth could be on the horizon. Our crowd's accredited investors have already invested over $1 billion in growing tech companies. Join the fastest growing venture capital investment community at ourcrowd.com/Marcus. That's ourcrowd.com/Marcus.
What is the most important problem you're trying to solve for the parks?
Responsible visitation. I think that's the number one problem. I mean, we as people, right, we cause the most harm in public lands. Teaching people how to responsibly adventure is probably the number one thing that anyone could do to protect these lands right now.
When did you open the business?
6 years ago.
And how much revenue has it done since inception?
We hit $1 million our first year and we doubled every year since.
So that would put you at 12 million now?
Roughly, yeah.
You're going to do $12 million in t-shirts?
Yeah, and half of our profits go back to the park.
Are the margins good?
That's what we're working on.
And do you primarily sell into the higher end categories like the REIs of the world?
Yes, we do. And then we're looking to grow that segmentation into other areas as well. Obviously, Camping World would be a huge one for us. But
well, wait a second. Did anybody notice what just happened? You see, in the stream of consciousness, the best business owners are the ones that can weave what I call the assumptive close. He's talking about where he is today, how he wants to grow his business, and then magically, in the middle of his sentence, he weaves in my business. But he doesn't stop. If you are a salesperson and you sell anything, including yourself, that is how you actually start a sales pitch. You make a nice conversation, you create some sort of connection, and you magically just drop in very elegantly the first request for business.
Thank you so much.
If you were not on this podcast today and we met in an elevator and you knew that I owned Camping World and Overton's and a bunch of other things that are in the outdoor space, what would be your 30-second elevator pitch to do business with a company like ours? Remember, the elevator door is going to open. I'm going to walk in or you're going to walk in. You got 30 seconds. Go.
Marcus, great to meet you. Parks Project is, we believe that we're engaging the next generation of visitors. We believe we're connecting with the next community and the next generation that's going to protect and preserve these public lands. We're speaking to them, we're selling product to them, we're engaging with them in a lot of ways. And we believe that we can bring that community to Camping World and to a bunch of different organizations in a fun and new way and engage them with a community that maybe they aren't speaking to directly right now. That's who we are, and we believe it at the core of everything we do. We've given over 6,000 hours as a staff in volunteering, and everything we do from the way we make product to the way we volunteer revolves around this mission.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Your pitch needs a lot of work. It was convoluted and, quite frankly, directionless. Let's talk through it, okay? So one of the keys for me in business is understanding your audience. When you're going to present an idea to somebody, you got to really quickly size up who they are and what's going to resonate with them. And so the pitch that I think applies to someone like me is, in order for my business to grow, my Camping World business to grow, there have to be places, safe places and clean places for families to take their RV. It's the number one impediment to my company's growth and the industry's growth is if there aren't places to go that are clean and safe for moms to feel comfortable with, we're in trouble. Because the ability to actually buy the RV is the easier part. The hard part is, where do I take it and is it safe and is it clean? And I chose your business to be on here with me today because I'm A, fascinated by the work that you've done, by your dedication to the American landscape, your dedication to the outdoors. I wanted to figure out how I could help because obviously I would assume that growing your company requires capital. It requires product development. But you're doing it all under the premise that 50% of the profits go back to the national parks. As I think about growing the business, what are the things that you'd like to do going forward to help?
How you can help is securing a partnership with Camping World for Parks Project to be in Camping World, engaging those customers on how to protect those parks, how to leave no trace, whether it's through product, whether it's through clinics. The amount we could do just there between our two communities and engaging people would be just absolutely massive. We've done that with REI, where we have a section, we talk about the local conservancy that they can help support. So what we can do together is tell the story of the conservancies, the work they're doing, the help they need, and the specific projects they're working on, and then allow the consumer to support those.
The reality of it is that what you and Keith have done is you've taken a big risk, you've sacrificed and dedicated your life to, yes, your business and employing people and making money. And I think in order to grow your business from 12 million to 24 to 36 to 100 million, you're going to need to tighten up your story with facts to deliver your message. And if we can get the facts, five facts about what your company is trying to solve really clear, not only would I become a customer of yours, not only would I want to be a supporter of yours, but I think everybody else will more clearly understand the ethos that you stand for. Fair enough?
Yeah, fair enough.
I know that the special guest that I'm about to bring on, she can help us with that. She's an award-winning documentarian, journalist, speaker, author, philanthropist, and she's my friend.
My name is Soledad O'Brien, and I am a journalist.
To me, my skill set is to get into your head.
And the fact that people are arguing over it is usually a sign it's a great story.
She also created the Powerful Foundation. I want you to focus on the her, because that's what their focus is. She wanted to help young women get to and get through college. Please welcome Soledad O'Brien.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
So nice. I'm doing great. Great to meet you remotely.
I love everything you stand for.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And congratulations to you on all your success.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? So who do you sell to? Who's your, in terms of, you know, what we'd call in TV, your audience? Who buys your stuff?
Yeah, 25 to 35, primarily female, about 60, 70% female. And then majority of these folks live in cities and they're going to national parks maybe a couple times a year. You know, we're not selling to the people who are climbing to the top of the peak. Probably more of the people like you and I who live in LA or New York. And
so what's your 1 minute pitch?
He tried this earlier and he sucked at it.
Parks Project is a lifestyle apparel brand that identifies projects and issues in parks and solves those problems and issues through the work of conservancies through selling our products and engaging our community. So what we do is we connect people to conservation efforts through our products.
I think you need to be more directed. Like, the parks are underfunded and people love parks. And you know what Americans do? They step up and they buy things that help fund the parks that they love. So I think you should think about the audience that you don't have. We need an app that tells me where the parks that are closest to me that I can drive to. I want to know exactly what project I'm helping. I want to know what my $10 is going for. And that's just storytelling so that people feel like, oh, I'm so connected to this park because it's my park. I might go once a year, but it's my park.
What she just described from a business standpoint is a funneled digital marketing strategy. Identify your audiences across the top. Create a different sort of angle or pitch in each one of those audiences. Make sure that it resonates really well and convert them. That's what she just told you to do in a different way. Identify the hot points in the story, elevate them.
For a while, mission-based brands had really took off, right? And I think it's kind of like leveled out a little bit. Do you feel like the future is really around mission-based brands?
I think having the mission entrenched in your business, and certainly for millennials and younger, people want to believe in a thing, especially now when we're in such a mess in so many ways in America. I think people want to believe that there are good people trying to do good things. And I think what you're giving people is a conduit into helping. And that's amazing. So you have to make it really clear. You sell dreams and wishes and history and nostalgia and hope for a better America. Like, you sell that. That's awesome to sell. That's amazing. So leverage it.
I have to tell you, that advice was spectacular. Here's what I would like to do for your business. I'm going to give you $150,000 of advertising credits across all of my magazines and all of my catalogs for the 5.4 million customers that I have out of the 10 million RVers that are in the marketplace. So 50% of everybody that loves RVing in the outdoors is in my database. So I'm going to start with that. Number two, I'm going to give you a column that you can write or somebody on your staff can write, profiling a different national park in every one of my magazines, RV the Magazine. It has 800,000 subscribers to it. You're going to put an article in every one of them. I will not charge you. You're responsible for the content. Number three, I'm going to take a month that you believe and I believe works. We're going to make it National Park Month, brought to you by The Parks Project.
Thank you. That means so much. I mean, this has been such a thrill, and I'm so grateful for this time, you guys.
There is a ton of excitement about spending this summer in the great outdoors. Camping, road tripping, beach getaways, and lots of bonfires. So that's why I love innovations like Solo Stove. Solo Stove's stainless steel stoves and fire pits add a little extra magic to those summer memories. They're easy to light, easy to clean, and the 360-degree airflow design makes for more efficient, longer-lasting fires. But the best part of it all is that they're virtually smoke-free. Look, I personally love Solo Stove's Ranger fire pits because it's the most portable thing around, and you can take it anywhere on the road. It's convenient for camping and RV travel, which for me, as you know, is a win. Solo Stove is sure you'll love their products, too. In fact, they're so sure that they offer a lifetime warranty and a 30-day free return policy. Right now, you can get $10 off when you use promo code Marcus at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you're going to get $10 extra off when you use the promo code Marcus. That's solostove.com to enjoy your summer nights. I do believe that the products that you're making are of high quality. I'm wearing one now. I do believe that a partnership with my business will not only help my business and our industry, but will help the national parks. And I think that there needs to be more people like you who are putting causes and responsibility over profits every single day. And for that reason, I'm honored to have you as a new vendor and a new partner at Camping World. But more importantly, I'm excited to work with you to refine that message a little bit more, to just make it a little tighter and a little cleaner.
Sounds like a wonderful deal. Thank you.
Love it.
Thanks so much for coming on, brother. I'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you, Marcus.
Take care.
He's a guy who just wants to get it right and figure it out. And I think they're open and they don't have an agenda and they're willing to have honest conversations.
The fact that you like interviewing the masses, the people who actually make the magic happen, the people that actually drive the economy and cause public change, is actually the reason why you are one of the best interviewers to ever hit the airwave.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate that.
Last question, favorite cause to advocate for?
My foundation sends girls to and through college. That's my favorite cause. Young women who want to get ahead and are willing to do everything to get there. We usually do an event and then we do events with the girls themselves and we've been able to raise a lot of money. So it's been really, it's great. And then I fund it myself as well. I love it. I absolutely love investing in great young women.
My wife and I would like to make a $25,000 donation to your foundation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd love to share stories about these amazing young women. They're great and they're a blessing. So thank you. That's amazing. Thanks so much.
If you have a belief in a particular issue, whether it's the national parks or breast cancer awareness or income inequality, whatever it may be, it's no different than trying to sell your product or service to people. The story, the packaging, the marketing behind it, the succinctness in which you deliver your message. And when I get on with nonprofits or organizations like this, I'm usually tougher on them than I am a standard business owner. And the reason that I am is because I know that the audience that they're talking to is sometimes not listening. And I know the muck that they have to work through to get somebody's attention is really difficult. People want to listen to things that are going to solve problems for them, not solve problems for somebody else. The takeaway of today is that your story has to stand out no matter what you're selling. It has to be clean no matter what you're telling people. And people like Soledad O'Brien and other people like that, real students of communication, understand that you got to cut through the noise and you got to brighten it up for people and make it very simple. Simplify and exaggerate. This is 100%. I'm Marcus Lemonis. Thanks for joining me.
This podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Marcus Lemonis. It's executive produced by Nancy Glass and James Balash. Produced by Joanne Cosro and Andrea D'Ambrosio. Other members of the production team include Andrea Gunning, Ben Fetterman, Lindsay Livingston, Carrie Hartman, Elena Karmazin, Thomas McClellan, Madeline Cole, Samantha Jacobson, and Brittany Vuzo. Edited by Matt Delvecchio and Blake Maples. And the sound mixing's done by Dave Saya. A special shout out to Gotham Studios in New York City, Elliot Lanham at Hidden City Studios, BAM Studios in Chicago, and Mibe Music.